Yeah, man, it's going down. This is Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a very special guest today representing Face Mob, representing Coffee Brothers, man. Hey, KB, what's going down?
What's going on, man? What's going on with it, man?
I'm chilling, man. What's new, man?
Hey, man, shit, working, man. Back at it, man.
Yeah, man. For sure, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it been a minute, you know what I'm saying, since people seen, you know, what's been going down. I mean, you got some new music in the works, right?
Yeah, new music. Got a new album coming out February 5th. Keep going, you know. Back at it, man. Been a long hiatus, but hey, we here.
Yeah. For sure. So, man, how you been making it through the pandemic and everything, man?
Man, I've been making it, man. You know, just it's kind of like a gift and a curse, man, because, you know, I was able to work on this project at home, chilling, got a, you know what I'm saying, family, you know, kids, get to know your kids better, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, working, you know, it sat you down, but it really was it's a blessing in disguise to me, though, you know what I'm saying? So I was able to knock this project out, and hey, still working.
Yeah, still working for sure. And I mean, like you say, I mean, you've been in it for a minute, man. Just talk about, you know, even before the Face Mob thing, just coming up in the A, man, how that was back then, man.
Man, coming up in the A, man, it was like anywhere else, man. It was, you know, like I'm from a small town outside of Atlanta called Tarbertson, Georgia. If you ever heard of the artist Bo Hagen that was signed with Lil Jon.
Yeah.
Me and him from the same, well, me, we like family. I don't like saying like we would raise this family, you know what I'm saying? He like a cousin of mine, but Tarbertson, Georgia is a small town about 90 miles south of Atlanta. I was raised down there, you know, like my younger years. I went to school down there, first, second grade, you know. Third grade, I moved back to Atlanta. My mom, we was in East Atlanta, Zone 6. And, you know, just moving around, you know, doing the average kid shit, you know what I'm saying?
When did the, like, rap thing start taking off, though?
The rap thing took off with me when, well, I like Run DMC, you know, The Message and all them songs.
For sure.
I was liking all that shit, right? But what made me want to rap, my cousin Chris, he was in the Navy, and he was up in boot camp up in Virginia. So he came home after, you know, like training and shit. So he had a tape, and on the tape, he had Eric Bibbs for President.
Mm.
And so, man, I begged him to, like, when he was about to go back, I begged him for that tape, man. Like, please let me leave that tape here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I played that song like a million times and had my melody on it too, but that Eric Bibbs President one that got me. And I tried to write my first rhyme then. That was what 86, I guess? 87
when
it came
out.
Yeah. I tried to write my first rhyme then just because of that song. That inspired me to rap Eric Bibbs for President.
Yeah, but talk about just once you get older and start kind of like moving around, because you had some connections to the Dungeon family, right?
Right, my brother Big Keith, he went to school with T-Mo, Cujo, and Gip and all, they went to Maze. And so once I came up and I started rapping, like I gotta be around 17 at this time, 16, 17 at this time. And this was like right when Outkast first dropped, Good and Mob haven't even came out yet, you know. So he introduced me to, you know, T-Mo, Cujo, Rico, the whole Dungeon and shit, right? So I used to go over to the Dungeon, Rico do beats and shit, let me rap to the beats and shit, you know. You know what I'm saying? Just going by there trying to get in where I fit in at, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, they were so deep over there already, you know what I'm saying? They had Outkast, they had Good and Mob, had EJ, they had Cool Breeze, had Backbone. You know, with just so many, he used to always tell me, like, man, you know, like, you can get down, but you're going to have to wait.
So any given day, you just go over there, and there's just a bunch of them over there, everybody just working on records.
If I go over there, either Rico over there, or Ray Ray and Pat over there, or EJ over there working on something, any given day, you pop up over there, you can see anybody, you know what I'm saying? Dre, Big Boy might be over there, you know what I'm saying? Any given day. And like I said, I had the privilege of just popping up over there, you know what I'm saying, because of my brother, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But so I did that, you know, but before then, even before then, I can take it back. I was in a talent show with, I was in a group called the Ivory Court Zoo, me and my homeboy Donnie, and we was in a talent show with a group called the East Point Chain Gang. Now the East Point Chain Gang had Big Gip, you know, Cool Breeze, my buddy Mactown, Big Chief, all of them, you know what I'm saying? So we was doing like talent shows with each other and shit. So I knew of them, you know, but then that was like before the dungeon, you see what I'm saying? Organized Noise, you know. But then once I found out, once I went over there and started seeing them, you know, me and Cool Reed, we still like this to this day, you know what I'm saying? We really just click, you know what I'm saying? So after he seen me, like, damn, you know, we just clicked, man. And it was just, you know, to this day, we still cool. So that's where them Dungeon Family ties come in at, though, my brother Big Keith.
Yeah, but I mean, after that, like, talk about, because what did you meet? Was it Face at a concert or something like that?
Face at a concert, yeah. It was a concert at a club, called The Gate. A club called The Gate over in Decatur and shit. So it was the Ghetto Boys.
Are you still in this group at this time? Or, like, what are you doing?
Nah, at this time right here, me and my homeboy had just split up, you know what I'm saying? So I'm really just by myself at this time when I met him. Just like 96. So, like I said, they had just dropped the Resurrection, but they on like a little run, a promo run or whatever. It was the Ghetto Boys, Face Mob, UGK, Fifth Ward Boys, Mac Maul from the Bay, a couple more guys, you know what I'm saying? So I met him. And so when I met him, he was in the back, and there was some guys trying to sing for him and shit, you know what I'm saying? So what made him like take a liking to me, when the guys were trying to sing, I pushed them niggas out the way, you know what I'm saying? Pushed them niggas out the way and started rapping and shit. So like, okay, nigga, shit, go ahead, rap. You know, you like, he was liking that shit, you know what I'm saying? And so he like, all right. So then by this time, the room started getting crowded with niggas trying to rap. So he like, yeah, he's like, all right, big nigga. He said, get these niggas. So I had to battle damn near like about 21, 22 niggas at one time, you know what I'm saying? Just down the line.
No shit.
Going down the line. Some of them was coming back, some of them was scared, some niggas wasn't scared. I even had to battle, rest in peace, my homeboy Big Omar, you know what I'm saying? He was in line. I had to get him too. One nigga I grew up with, you know what I'm saying? Big Omar, rest in peace. But about 21 niggas, man. And so he was like, shit, you go through them, you can go with me. And so shit,
did what you had to do.
Yeah, I did what I had to do. Yeah, rest is history.
Yeah, so boom, you jumped down Face Mob. And this is to replace Smith D, because he was going through his thing at the time.
When I talked to him, he was like, Smith D had just went to prison, you know what I'm saying? So he was like, you fill in for him, and then we'll, you know, do the knock out this, because they was about to drop the first Face Mob. See, I'm on the second, because we got two Face Mobs album. It's The Other Side of the Law, the first one, and Silence is the second one. So I'm on the second one. But so I came out, we worked on the, we didn't immediately work on the Face Mob album, you know, he was working on the Untouchable album. And so we came out here. I was only out here for a couple of days. Then we drove to Cali. He was working on the Untouchable out in L.A.
So do you sign immediately, or you just kind of just?
I don't sign immediately. I'm just, like I said, I came out here. He working on the Untouchable, and basically he was like, you know, it's coming. You know what I'm saying? Just stick around. So, like I said, we went to L.A. and we was out there for about 6 months, man. And
I mean, how was it, man? Because you're going over there, coming from Atlanta, to go on Rap-A-Lot in like prime Rap-A-Lot years, man.
Prime Rap-A-Lot. It was surreal, because I was a big Rap-A-Lot fan anyway. You know what I'm saying? One of my favorite groups on Rap-A-Lot was the Odd Squad. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, of course, the Ghetto Boys was, but I'm just talking about, like, you know, Gangsta Nip. You know, I was on all that shit. You know what I'm saying? But, to come out to meet Face, you know what I'm saying? Then to rap for him, and my first time rapping for him, I get on with him. You know what I'm saying? That was shit. You know, a lot of niggas don't make it their first time. So just off me just rapping, freestyling, cause a lot of that shit, like I said, when I was battling them niggas, I wasn't rapping nothing I wrote. You know what I'm saying? Some of it was some shit I wrote, but I couldn't remember this shit, cause I was just so, in the moment, I really just freestyled and just, you know what I'm saying? So when I came out here, I really didn't meet a lot of people, because like I said, I was over at, I was out of his house and shit. And then we was here like maybe 2 days, and then we immediately went back to L.A. And so when I went to L.A., like I said, we was out there for about 6 months, man. And then when I was out there, I met Too Short, Ice Cube, Be Legit, E-40, you know what I'm saying, Daz and Corrupt.
Y'all kicking it or y'all recording or what y'all doing?
We recording. Like, everybody coming to the studio, Enterprise Studio, everybody coming up to the studio to get on. Because, you know, all the names I just named is on that album, except E-40 and Be Legit. I think they just came up there to kick it or whatever. But Daz is on the album. Too Short is on that album. Corrupt didn't make the album. But all the names I just named, most of them was on the album. They weren't coming really to kick it. They were really coming up there. You know, the vibe, C-Face, you know what I'm saying? Work on some tunes, you know what I'm saying?
Are you kind of tripping or are you just like, man?
I was tripping. Because like I said, shit, you know.
I mean, you just named some names, bro. You talking about Short, Cube. Hey, come on, man.
Man, listen, like I can remember we in the game room. It's two entrances to Enterprise. It's the door that everybody comes to. Then you got the front door right here by the game room. Don't nobody come to that door. And door that boom, 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 boom. So I'm in there. It's just me and somebody else in that shooting pool and shit. So I open the door, and this motherfucking E-40 and Be Legit.
Oh, so man.
That fucked me up, like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm, you know, this is 96, these niggas been out, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, god damn it. So I let them in, they cool as hell, you know. Man, Be Legit, we still, to this day, we still cool from 96 to now. We still, shot with her. He's supposed to have been on the album too. But then, like I said, Daz came through, Short came through. I don't say I got a shout out Short because from that time in LA to when I got back to Atlanta, he let me come to his house and like record for free, you know, like he can be on the road somewhere. I call him, he like, man, go over there, man, I have Wayne let you in, Robert, you know what I'm saying, record you, whatever. Like, no money, no nothing, just go over there and whatever I, you know, record, man. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
Real.
Just off of that first initial meeting from LA, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was surreal for me being out there, man. Like I said, then I'm out there with Face. You know, to see him, how he do this shit, you know what I'm saying? Because he real private like that. You really ain't going to get a chance to get in there and see him magic like that if you don't know him. Like
what are you learning at this time? Because, I mean, you coming into the game and getting to watch one of the best, you know what I'm saying? Like, do his thing.
At that time, I'm learning, like, you know, cause like, I used to go in. Well, this comes from, like, having no money like that, you know what I'm saying? I used to go in and, like, record the song all the way down.
One take.
First verse, hook, you know, just all the way through like that, you know what I'm saying? But I don't want to give up none of his sauce, but you know what I'm saying? Watching him record, it showed me like I don't have to do it like that. I can do it like this right here, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he real private about that shit. But I learned a lot, you know what I'm saying? Breath control, you know, just. And then I can give up this right here, though. He don't, like, he might do a song like Mary Jane. It's like two other versions to Mary Jane. Like he'll write a song and do it, and then he'll write two more versions to it, and the best one would go. So a lot of his songs,
whole songs,
like a lot of his songs that you hear, there's other versions out there in the vault somewhere. A lot of his songs, you know what I'm saying? Like I learned that right there. Like a lot of people go in the studio and just write a song and just lay it, and that be that. He was a perfectionist. He didn't do it like that. Sometimes, if he feeling that shit, he'll do it again. He'll do it again, and he'll go lay it again. Like, he might lay it, ride to it, and go lay it again. Like, he ain't just going to just give it to you one time. He going to perfect it. I learned that. I just write a verse or a song and just be lay it and be done with it. But he might hear another beat. Okay, damn, this shit sound better to this beat. Like I said, Mary Jane, it's a couple more versions to Mary Jane out here. You know what I'm saying? Well, not out here, but, you know, it's in the vault somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So I learned that from him.
Man, okay, so y'all just recording in L.A. or what are y'all doing in L.A.?
Just recording. Just hotel studio, no kicking it. Hotel studio.
So y'all come from back out there, and then what y'all start
doing? Okay, we come from back out there. He finished the album. We come back here, and then I go back to Atlanta. And so I'm not signed. And so the album about to come out. And so he go do his little promo run. I'm at home. I get a call from Big Chief. You know Big Chief. Hey, man, LeJay want to talk to you, man. I'm like, damn, what the fuck I done did. You know what I'm saying? So like, man.
Had you met him before? This was your first time.
Yeah, I met Jay because he came out, you know, while we were working on the album. I had met him before, but this is why he was calling me though. He was like, man, he wants you to help write Bushwick album and shit. So he's like, man, I'm finna send for you, bring you out here and shit. So that's how I got back out here. You know what I'm saying? So I was writing Bushwick next album. I might have wrote mine with like 6 songs, but then, you know, that it didn't pan out. But there are 6 songs somewhere of mine with me that I've wrote for Bushwick, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I got back out here. And by the time I got back out here, Face was coming off the promo tour for the Untouchable album. And so from that day on, it was like, okay, now it's time to he started on My Homies. And so in the midst of working on My Homies, we working on My Homies, Devin's first album, Face Mob. So that's what was on his agenda. Untouchable, Devin, and Face Mob. So now we working on those 3 projects and shit. And so like I was telling you, on the Untouchable album, I'm on like maybe 6 or 7 songs. I got the most songs, features on that album, whole project out of everybody. You know, that's why you hear me so much, you know what I'm saying, on that album, because he was basically setting it up like—
My Homies, you mean?
My Homies, I mean, yeah. Not Untouchable, My Homies, yeah. He was basically setting it up like for Devin, then Face Mob, and then he dropped the G2 Key, and then me and DMG. So I was just, by this time, I'm just bouncing around Studio A, because he had a studio up here, Knockhart Studios. I'm Studio A, Studio B. I'm in there with Devin, Face Mob.
So how is it, clearly you and Devin, y'all link up and y'all have a real, you know what I'm saying, chemistry, you know what I'm saying? How was it when you first meeting Devin, and how did y'all end up like getting so tight and shit?
Okay, so I got to back up. When I came out here the first time, when I was telling you, before we went to L.A. Cali, right? Face was having this house built, so he was living with his mother-in-law and with his wife at the time. So he had a condo over here off of what was that over here? I think it's Buffalo Speedway over here. So in the condo was my partner Rico, which is still my good friend to this day. And so Face dropped me off over there, introduced me to Rico. And so I think Rico went to the store somewhere. So the doorbell rang, ding. So I go to the door, boom, open the door up. It's fucking Devin. That fucked me up. Cause like I told you, R Squad was like my favorite.
Right.
So like, he's like, yeah, man, what's up, man? And then nigga had some chicken and waffles and shit. Had some chicken and waffles and a 12 pack of beer. So he's like, man, you eat chicken and waffles? I'm like, man, I ain't never had no chicken and waffles, bro. And like, we ain't do that in Atlanta at that time.
Wait. But see, the first time I had chicken and waffles was in Atlanta.
How long ago was it?
Like, it was in the 90s.
In the 90s?
At Gladys Knight.
No, Gladys Knight. When the 90s? Gladys
maybe
Knight.
Maybe like 96, somewhere between 96
Gladys
and 98.
Gladys Knight in 96?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
I hadn't had it. My first time having chicken and waffle was out here with Devin and shit, right? So, and you know, she got that shit from fucking, you know, Roscoe probably. But, so... eating the chicken and waffles and shit, you know what I'm saying? He find up one, so then he like, man, they want me to do a solo album. But I'm like, man, what the fuck up with the R Squad? You know what I'm saying? Mm. He like, that kind of threw him back. He like, man, damn, like, you know about the R Squad? I'm like, hell yeah, y'all my favorite group on Rap-A-Lot, you know what I'm saying? Like, where them niggas at? You know what I'm saying? Y'all need to do a motherfucking R Squad album, you know what I'm saying? He was like, yeah, you right. And so, he went to go get them niggas and shit, so we ended up kicking it. I ended up clicking with the Odd Squad, like out of everybody, like me and the Odd Squad. Like, they called me the honorary 4th member of the Odd Squad, you know what I'm saying? Mm. But that day, he let me hear the hook to Do What The Fuck You Wanna Do. He didn't have the song yet, he just had that hook part. He had the beat and the hook. He had 2 beats from N.O. Joe. He had that one, and he had another song called I Can't Quit,
mm-hmm.
That was on the Do It album. He had those 2 beats. So he had the hook for Do What The Fuck You Wanna Do. He like, man, he sung that shit. I was like, phew. that motherfucker out of here. You know what I'm saying? So he didn't have nothing for I can't quit yet. He just let me hear the beat. I'm like, that motherfucker jamming too. You know what I'm saying? So fast forward, we go to L.A., you know what I'm saying, work on the album. Because he was out of L.A. with us too. L.A. come back, and then it's time to work on his shit. You know what I'm saying? So then that's when he started, like, filling in the blanks, coming up with his shit. Cause like I said, he might be have a session. I might have a session with the Face Mob. Then Face might be in there working on my homie shit. I'm in that motherfucker. I'm just all over that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So I ended up being on 5 songs on Devin's album. And about like 6 or 7 songs on my homies. And then we were working the Face Mob. So I stayed in that motherfucker, man. I ain't want to go out and party and hang and shit. I just want to just, you know what I'm saying, work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So me and Devin, that's how we end up getting cool like that. But so every time me and him do a song together, or me, him, and the R-Squad do a song together, the motherfuckers come out banging, you know what I'm saying? To the point where everybody like, man, y'all need to do an album together. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just something about that chemistry, man. We can go in there. We might be talking about something, and then this shit just turn into a song or something, or just whatever.
That's what I was going to say. Like, so, Tim, talk about songs like Showing What That Pussy Made For and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, how y'all come up with that type of shit?
Showing What That Pussy Made For, DJ Domination, Domo, Face DJ, he did the beat. Now, Dev heard that beat. It was Gangsta Nip's beat. The Gangsta Nip got a song of that beat.
Hmm.
Showing the pussy make for. But, you know, Dev got the song, you know what I'm saying? So we listened to that motherfucker and, you know, we always make freestyle or whatever, you know what I'm saying? About just, you know what I'm saying, just in that moment, just playing around. We ain't got no topic or nothing like that, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I like BBWs and shit, right? So we just freestyling and shit, and then he might have said like the first little couple lines in the song, and then from right there we just go. We went in the vocal booth and just sat down on the floor and just came up with that shit, man. Had the headphones on, just rapping that shit. Okay, just bouncing off each other and shit. We laid that shit, man. Like,
get the fucking dunk, Combs. That shit was hard.
Yeah. We were literally sitting on the floor in the vocal booth, smoking and drinking and just writing that shit, just freestyling back and forth. And we came up with that song like that right there, you know what I'm saying? Then by the time we came out, Dumbo was like, damn, y'all come up with something? Like, yeah. Like, went in there and laid that shit. And when we laid it, it was like, we knew right then it was going to be something. You know what I'm saying? Like, show them what the pussy made for, you know what I'm saying?
It's a classic.
Everybody be asking, like, you know, it's some truth to that shit, you know what I'm saying? In both our shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, taking experiences from women and just putting it in that, you know what I'm saying? Because it was a little chick I had out here, right? You know what I'm saying? So the one part out to my put my foot, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was a true story, you know what I'm saying? So he like, man, you know, me and Devin, we becoming some wild shit. So, you know, man, say that shit, you know what I'm saying? Fuck that shit. But yeah, man, every time we go in there though, man, we come out with a banger, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, either me, him, and Jug and Rob, you know what I'm saying? You know, it be like that, you know? But I click with everybody on Rap Lot though, man. Fifth Ward Boys, Menace Clan, three Big Mello, that was like, you know, R.P. Big Mello. He really took me up under my wing. Cause see, as working on the Face Mob album, but then, you know, like it was a couple members in the group, you know, like couldn't get the business right or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Cause you know there was a female in the group. Then you had Shire, had DMG. You know, DMG was working on the solo album as well. So in the midst of that, I was kind of like at a little stand. Well, not, I wouldn't say a standstill. I was just so eager to work because I'm out here to do the Face Mob, and I know if we don't do the Face Mob, I'm going to be stuck with my shit. So I started a group called the Gorilla Clique, which I brought my buddy out here from Atlanta, Trey TL, and my partner Big Slim, and my homeboy Mr. Shawty. I brought him out here. And so at one point, man, I had damn near 20 niggas in this group. It was the guys I just named, Big Mello, the Menace Clan, Jug Mug from the R Squad, guy from the North Side named Mad Dog, It was about 20 of us, man. You know what I'm saying? We was like, somewhere there's some songs with us, with me, Big Mello, Menace Clan, Jug, all us just banging out records every day. You know what I'm saying? So then Big Chief came and said, man, you got to narrow this shit down. You know, there's too many of y'all. So it just ended up being four of us. You know what I'm saying? It was me, my boy Trey Tiel, rest in peace Jamal, Face Cousin Jamal, and the guy named Manchild. So it was just ended up being those four. But, you know, so I started working on the Gorilla Click album. And then by the time we got deep into that, the Face Mob was back up. So I had to drop that and get back on the Face Mob. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, that was what I was here for. So we ended up doing the project. And then, you know, some other shit happened. And then, you know, so.
Mm. Man, do you have any, like, favorite times from your time, you know what I'm saying, on Rap A Lot and everything from back then? Whether it be like working on Devin albums or something that happened on, you know, on the My Homies albums or some tour shit. Or.
Man, my favorite times are going on the road, man. Doing shows and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like me and Devin sitting on the floor in the vocal booth coming up with that song and then going out on the road and them motherfuckers rapping that shit word for word.
Mm.
That kind of shit, like, damn, like, man, we just came up with that shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, the road is like my favorite times, man. Creating the music, you know what I'm saying? Being in there, like I said, being in the studio and then 3-2 walking in there.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Nip walking in there. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, all these guys, man, you know what I'm saying? Phil Ford boys, you know what I'm saying? Just meeting them and coming in and getting a chance to work with them. Beto, you know what I'm saying? Beto took me under his wing, you know what I'm saying? Man, it was just creating the music and going on the road was like the fun times with Rap A Lot, man, you know. And then like on Lil Jake's, they had these sessions in the studio. Lil Jay come over there, man, and everybody, he might have freestyle cyphers and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like me, FaZe, Devin, Menace Clan, DMG, Big Mello.
So he'll call y'all over there to have these sessions?
We might probably already be over there. You know what I'm saying? Or he'll call some niggas up and he'll be back there, beat playing and shit. You know,
like cypher going.
Cypher going. You know what I'm saying? Like, shh.
I can imagine.
I wish it was like Instagram shit back then to get that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, when nobody recording that shit, man. But I'm talking about niggas going at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Face. Like some bringing on shit though, but just cypher, you know what I'm saying? Niggas just going back, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And like shit, you know. Them kind of, that shit right there, like, you know what I'm saying? You'll never get them times back, you know what I'm saying? That stick out to me too, you know what I'm saying?
You spoke about Big Mello, you saying with him taking you in, talk about something, you know what I'm saying, that you may remember like with him.
Big Mello, man, one thing I said about him, like I said, he comes to the studio. He used to be that early, man, like, Mello bit studio like 7-8 in the morning. It's like he's like, man, look, I treat this shit like a business, man. I treat this shit like work. You know what I'm saying? He like, I come in, I work, I go home to my family. You know what I'm saying? He like, this is how you gotta treat. Him and Devin talk with that. Devin actually say that, but he did that. He showed me that. Like Devin to be up, get his kids ready for school, drop them off of school, come to the studio work. Leave, go pick him up from school, go home, fix dinner, you know what I'm saying? Like, I learned that. So Big Mello, he taught me that. And so, like I said, when we used to be on the road, he used to, like, just took me on his wing, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was real musical. Like, he could sing Al Green, damn, Frankie Beverly, damn, anything, you know what I'm saying? He was just, the conversation was to have, man. Like, it used to be deep, you know what I'm saying? They're sitting on the road, sitting in the back of the bus, everybody in the front of the bus, me and him in the back of the bus, just chopping it up, you know what I'm saying? Just talking about life. He loved his wife and his kids, you know what I'm saying? He talked about his wife and his kids, man. Like, that's all he talked about, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all he talked about. But he was a protector. I can remember one time down in, I think Daytona, Florida, man. It got ugly, but Big Mello, man. All I'm gonna say is we here today. You know what I'm saying? Because of Mello. You know what I'm saying? He didn't play. He was a protector. If he fuck with you, he fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? He loved Brad. He loved Face. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so, if you out here with FaZe, then nigga, you with Brad, you with me. That's how it was, you know what I'm saying? So Big Mello, man. Like, and so that's what I'm saying. When I did the Gorilla Click shit, he was all for it. He was there every day. Like I said, 7, 8 in the morning. He was there before me.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he might already have a hook done, a hook and the verse done or something. You know what I'm saying? So Big Mello, one of the guys I click with, man. Yeah.
That's dope. So you saying, okay, so Mello would just be with y'all on, like, what is he, like, Face Mob too? Or is he just, like, rap a lot too?
On Face, like, we would go out and do Face shows. Because we didn't never tour for the Face Mob, you know what I'm saying? Like, when Face might be out on tour and shit, you know what I'm saying? We might be on the bus. That's what I mean, you know, because back then, shit, when it come to Entourage's shit, Face was one of the ones who had an entourage. It was maybe 10, 15 of us getting on the plane, 20 of us boarding the plane.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we used to be deep, you know what I'm saying? Because you got to think now, back then, you know, Face was the nigga when it came to, like, rap, you know what I'm saying? So he had the big entourages and shit, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it'd be me, Mello, Devin, DMG, you know what I'm saying? Warren Lee, Big Mark, Fat Joe, Homer, B-Dub, Chief, Dumbo, whoever else you can name, you know what I'm saying?
Man, Jamal. Deep. God damn.
I'm sorry, like I said, 10, 15, 20 deep, it just depends. Like, if we do a show here in Houston, you already know how they gonna go.
Hmm.
You know, but on the road, man, we was just deep. And like I said, Big Mello was a protector out there, man. Besides, Big Mark and Warren Lee and B-Dub them, but like, Big Mello, he was I click with him, like, I don't out on the road, you know what I'm saying? Like, he calmed me down on some shit. Like I said, I'm fresh, new, you know? I'm out there with a chicken with my head cut off, you know what I'm saying? Hey, KB, come here, man, I'm hollering, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's how it was.
What'd you say, chicken with a head cut off? What's some of the things, like, when you first got out there that you had to kind of, like, adjust to?
Okay, like, say, when you on the road, you know what I'm saying? You meet a chick might say, yeah, we going back to my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, hell no. You don't go back to nobody's house. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of shit. You know, like, I'm new. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know what,
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just taught me tour etiquette. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, smoking with niggas and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I'm smoking with everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, smoke and shit, but like, watch them niggas roll that shit up. Don't take no blunts, nigga. All already got rolled up and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just keep it mutual. You know what I'm saying? Some niggas be on some other shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he taught me a lot, man, when it comes to, like, to the road. Not only him, though, but, you know, like, Devin and all them, too. But Mello was more like, you know, him and Warren Lee was more like, you know, on our ass. You know what I'm saying? Warren Lee, he on our ass, that big bro, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Him, Big Mello and Warren Lee, them with the guy that do that shit, keep us in line on the road, man. Like, hey, man, y'all can't be doing that shit. What are you doing this shit? You know what I'm saying? I'm new. I'm young, you know what I'm saying? Girls everywhere, you know, shit, you know. Just, hey, man, you can't do that shit.
Yeah. So, shit, you say after a while, though, man, you kind of just fell back from the music and everything.
Yeah, after a while, man, like I said, I had my son and my daughter. And so I just went back home, ATL, man, raised my kids, you know what I'm saying? Working, you know what I'm saying? Started driving trucks and shit, you know what I'm saying? And just doing the family thing, you know what I'm saying? Got married, you know what I'm saying? And just doing the family thing. And so I still would like every now and then, like, Slim Calhoun, that's another one of my good friends and shit. Him and Bizarre from D12, Pastor Troy, you know what I'm saying? They would, you know what I'm saying, hey man, come give me a verse or something. So I would do a verse here and there on they shit, you know what I'm saying? But as far as me, I wasn't doing no KB shit, you know what I'm saying? I would like do a verse for them when they call me, cause like they friends, you know what I'm saying? Like they'll call when it ain't about music, you know what I'm saying? Check on me, you know what I'm saying? Like real friendship, you know what I'm saying? Cause I ain't got that many friends in this music shit, but I can say that they my friends, you know what I'm saying? Along with Devin, you know what I'm saying? But so my mom passed in February 5th of last year, 2020. You know, but like right before she died, you know what I'm saying? She used to always like, man, you need to get back to your music, son. Like why you give up? You know what I'm saying? Like, don't give up. You know, like your kids a little older, you know, like do your music. Like, why you stop doing your music? You know what I'm saying? And so when she passed, like I said, she passed February, it really wasn't on my brain to do no music, but you know, the pandemic hit, so now I'm at home, stuck, and so now everything hit me. So now I'm like, shit, I might as well damn do some music. I'm not even thinking about an album, let me just do some music. Mm. So shit, I ordered me some equipment, ordered me some studio shit, I just started recording, and next thing you know, shit, I'm like, man, this shit coming out kind of dope. You know what I'm saying? So I called Devin, like I said, I called Pastor Troy, I called Lama, all my rap partners and shit. And they're like, man, yeah, man, we got you, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So then they just started just putting it together. You know what I'm saying? Pastor Troy, we went to Memphis, got up with DJ Squeaky. He did like five tracks for me. Mr. Lee, you know what I'm saying? Mr. Lee 713. He sent me a couple of tracks. Blind Rob sent me a couple of tracks, you know what I'm saying? I just started just knocking them out. And so I got 20 songs, but I'm a little late though because I ran into some sample clearance issues. It was supposed to drop last year, so. But you know, like I said, by it being the death of my mom, her anniversary, February 5th, I'm gonna just drop it on February 5th. So I had 20 songs for 2020, man. Mm. Yeah, I got Big Rule from the Dungeon. I got Devin. I got Slim Calhoun, Bo Hagan. Who else I got on that? Bizarre from D12. Who else I got on that, man? Low Life from the Fifth Ward Boys, Smith D. I got some more people on there, man. I got a lot of family on there, like my nephew, Zay. I got my little brother Champ. I got my brother Green Sox on there, you know. I got my goddaughter Megan on there, Copious Green, you know. I got a lot of good features on there. It's a nice album, man. Nice body of work, man. Everybody loving it. Everybody, you know, enjoying it. Who all done heard it, man. So, you know, I feel good about it.
Yeah, and that's going to be out on everything on it.
It's going to be out on all platforms, man. February 5th. Devin dropped the same day, too. He dropped on February 5th as well. So we dropping on the same day. So, you know.
You gotta get both of them.
So you know, yeah. You might see a tour if they can open up these venues. Might see a tour coming with me and him. You know, but that's all I've been doing, man. Just working. Like, I done already started on another one. I'm working on another project as well as we speak.
Yeah.
I just, you know what I'm saying, keep it going. The name of the album is Keep Going.
Keep Going.
And I just dropped a single called Keep Going, featuring Devin and Tony Mac. That's out. On all platforms, got the video out, and the album is called Keep Going.
So, that's what it is, yeah, man. That's what it is. I appreciate you coming through, man.
Hey, man, look, I appreciate you, brother. I'm a big fan, man. I sit back and watch you, man. You have all the legends on here, you know?
Yeah.
And you blowing up. I see them numbers growing, too. Like, yeah. through the pandemic, I seen it. I just watch it, like, dang, you know, through the pandemic, you find shit, like, dang, okay. I just been out to subscribe to you, followed you, you know what I'm saying? Okay, yeah. You know, so.
Man, I appreciate it, man. It's an honor having you, man. Like I said, you know, I came in here rapping the verse, you know what I'm saying?
That
one
day
at a time,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's like one of my favorites, man. So
I appreciate it, man.
Oh, you want to get social media and shit before we get up out of here?
Yeah, social media, Instagram, at The Real KB Zone 6. That's DA, Real KB Zone 6. Twitter, The Real KB. I think it's Zone 6, but Instagram, you can find me. Like I said, I got the new single that just dropped, Keep Going, featuring Devin the Dude and Tony Mac. That's out on all platforms, the video out. I also got a single, PNW, that's out on all platforms. Album dropping February 5th on all platforms. Be on the lookout, man. Follow me on Instagram. Just follow the movement, man. Hit my YouTube page, subscribe. And I'm about to drop some shit. Matter of fact, I'm shooting a video next week. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to keep the content going, keep the music coming. And you're going to hear a lot more from me, man.
Already, that's what it is, man. It's Donnie Houston Podcast, KB. We out.